Hi, this is Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like...
Ay, mi mamá dice que hay que comer de todo.
Hello, hello, hello.
Casho, casho, casho.
How's it going, Babs? What are you up to? What's the hot goss? What are the cool kids talking about?
I wouldn't know. It's one of those days where, like, I've been sitting here since 10 a.m. in front of the fucking computer. So, actually, this is a much-needed break. Family's in town. I kicked them out. So, if you all of a sudden hear a bunch of kids coming in, it's because they don't hear me. And they came back before they supposed to. But everything is peachy. How are you?
I'm doing great, you know. Just trying to... trying to get back into a routine, you know, like a productive routine. It's just hard now that things are opening back up. I'm used to, you know, chilling more than I was before this last year, you know. So it's like a process of like setting those boundaries so that I can have a healthy life. I think I talked a little bit about it at the end of last week's episode where I'm just like trying to figure it out. And you know what I realized? It's like it really bothers people when you do that, because they're like used to me dropping everything to get something done. And now I'm like, you know what? No. I don't do
that. Se lo
toman
personal. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and then I also feel like some people get like jealous. Like, well, I don't have that time off. And I was like, yeah, bitch, I used to be like you. And now I'm changed, okay? So.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm doing good. I'm on season 37 of Survivor.
Ay, Dios mío.
We're almost there. Bitch, let me tell you something. You're not going to believe this.
Uh-huh.
I cannot believe that the Latinos Who Lunch Babelito Survivor story has actually finally intersected, and you didn't think that it would get there, but it got there, girl.
What?
Guess, yes, you're not going to believe it. Guess, okay, I'm not going to make you guess because you're never going to guess, so I'm going to start, I'm just going to lead you there really quick.
Yes, that's a better, that's a better approach.
What would you say is your favorite movie?
My favorite movie?
Yep. Don't think about it too much. Just like, Volver. What's your favorite movie?
Volver by Almodóvar.
Okay, what do you think is your favorite, like, funny movie?
Volver by Almodóvar. Oh, Bridesmaids? Nacho Libre?
Nacho Libre, okay?
Okay.
We got there. We got there. So you've lied to me in the past because you said Nacho Libre is your all-time favorite movie. The guy who wrote Nacho Libre is one of the contestants on this season of Survivor. And that guy also wrote School of Rock. He's in the movie School of Rock. I think he's also in Nacho Libre, but I only saw Nacho Libre once. I don't really remember it. But he plays Mr. Schneebly, like the original substitute in School of Rock. He's the writer of those movies. And he is a contestant on Survivor. And, like, there's a couple people that recognize him. And so they, like, geek out over it. And he's so... I'm halfway through the season. He's really good on the show. You know, representing for the transparent, glowing, white bisexuals out there. Thank you so much.
We don't see them enough.
Yeah, we really don't see you enough out there getting burnt on an island in Fiji. We really appreciate you representing for all of us. But I couldn't believe it. I was like, the guy who wrote... So there's like a little... Here and there, people do like School of Rock or Nacho Libre, you know, little jokes like with him throughout the show.
Qué desorden. I love it.
And then there is a wrestler this season as well that just... My God, it's like, you know, like those people that are so fucking buff that it's almost like unattractive.
Almost.
Yeah, because it's like they look like an insect, you know, or like a...
Oh, que no tienen nada, like zero fat, that it's just like...
Zero fat.
I know.
You remember the cartoon?
Perro.
You remember the cartoon Johnny Bravo? Like, it's just like a triangle with legs, you know?
With sticks, not even legs, just sticks.
Yeah. Well, this guy, he's got nice legs. So, you know, he makes up for it. But it's like that thing where you're like, is that guy hot or is that like really scary? I don't know. So we have that situation. So I got to tell you, this season of Survivor, riveting, okay?
Oh my God, it sounds like
we got Johnny Bravo and Mr. Sneebly, okay? Anyway, that's what I've been up to. How about you?
You know what?
Tell me.
Speaking of riveting TV, I have something to say.
Okay, let's hear. Hot take. Everybody pull over if you're driving.
So we've been doing this basically 5 years. Fighting for diversity, fighting or at least arguing about representation and visibility in TV, que nos quejamos de este show, and listeners are like, whoa, are there good shows out there for Latinos? We're always like, no, next. So my nephew and my niece got here yesterday, and they've been watching the same show over and over and over again. And, you know, I don't fuck with the Empire, girl. I don't fuck with the Empire, but Waffles and Mochi by Michelle Obama, it is riveting. It's the diversity that we need. Every single our friend Bricia from Super Mamas, you know, like our madrinas, was in one of the episodes. I was like, excuse you? And the way they approach diversity, the way they approach the visibility they give to our voices, the way they talk about the history of food. Here we are on the fucking internet still watching fucking videos about moms react to whatever, you know? And then I'm watching these kids' shows and I'm like, 90% of the palomitas that a show's supposed to have in terms of representation, diversity, this and that, are there. And I was like, can we watch another one? And can we watch another one? I think I watched the whole entire thing yesterday, sitting with my niece and my nephew. It is so good. It is so good. I know it's the Empire. I'm not a fan. But, oh my God, like, can we watch that and, like, take some notes? And maybe some people can start doing a little bit of that content because it's the shit that we need. I really, really, really enjoyed it. I don't know if you had time to watch it or if you heard about it. I didn't even know it existed. And I'm all about it. Waffles and Mochi. Check it out.
I don't really like to watch little kids shows that much, but I mean, there are some good ones.
But there's like an episode on tomatoes and or like potatoes, and they talk about how they come from Peru, and then they have like not necessarily white Peruvians, but actually they have Peruvians, and they talk in Spanish and they dub them and they subtitle. So it's like they don't try to whitewash the voices. Like, yes, it has problems like everything. It's just like, I was like, oh my God, can we watch the one on salt? Can we watch the one on huevos? Like, it's so good. I don't know. Like, maybe I'm not paying enough. Like, I'm not watching it as critical as I should because it's for kids and I was with my nephew and my niece. But every 5 seconds, I was like, look at this show. Look at this fucking show. This is so good. This is so good. I don't know.
Oh, cool. I'm going to check it out. I'll next time I go babysit my nieces, I'll find it. Yeah, I saw Bricia posting about it. That's so awesome.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Amazing. But anyway, speaking of waffles and mochi, what have you been eating lately?
Oh my goodness. Girl, you know, I've really been trying to cook at home and eat healthy, and my roommates too, so it's been really great. Yesterday I had a bunch of so this is really what happens, okay? And I talked about this a little last episode as well. I hate wasting food. That's like my biggest
pet peeve.
Like, yeah, it's my biggest pet peeve. When people order too much food and they don't eat it, or when things are just left in the fridge to rot, I'm like, bitch, you better eat that. And so one of my roommates is back in town, and they went to go eat Thai food, and the Thai food was way too hot. And, you know, like, the Mexican in me is always like, no, it's not. I can eat it, right?
Yo tengo huevos, putos. Yo me lo como.
No tanto, sí, hay que fuerte. But, it was so hot that I just couldn't eat it. And you know Thai food sometimes when you heat it up in the microwave, it gets even spicier.
Yeah.
Like the peppers activate, you know? And so I went and got some coconut milk from the store and just like used the curries that were left over to make a new kind of curry from the spice that was in the original one. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. So that it was actually edible. And I have a really high tolerance for spice. You know I do. Like when we would go eat Japanese curry, you'd get like, you'd be like, number two.
Number like, one, bitch. I don't even get number two.
Number one. And they're like, sir, it's 1 to 30. Are you sure? You're like, yeah, that's fine.
Speaking of spice, did you see Maya Rudolph playing Beyonce in the Hot Wings show in SNL?
No.
Watch it. It's so funny. It's so good. Anyway.
Oh my gosh. I don't watch SNL, but I'll do it. I'll watch that clip. Yeah, so that's what I ate. What else have I been eating lately? Let me think. I don't know. We've been gardening here at the house. So, and by we, I mean my roommate Michaela has been gardening. And I just get to eat whatever grows. And so we've also been making a lot of charred dishes because there's chard out there our yard now. Chard, you know, like big leafy greens.
Oh, yes, the vegetables. I don't know what I was thinking.
We got Swiss. Girl, we got Swiss chard. We got yellow chard. We got rainbow chard. All the gay chards. We got them all. What have you been eating?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. So after almost 4 years, I went back to Juarez. The last time I was there, it was with you.
That was 4 years ago?
It was almost 4 years ago. It was in late 2017. So it's like 3 and whatever months, years. But wow. It seems like an eternity. I went to go meet my cousin's little girl because I haven't met her. And she's like 2 and a half now. So shout out to Rocio. She has the most beautiful girl. She's been learning how to... you know, like how to learn her numbers. So I just confuse her because, you know, like it's fun. So I just taught her how to say everything 5. Cinco, cinco, cinco. So all the work that they've been putting on that girl's education was undone by me in a couple hours. But anyway, what did I eat? You know, my favorite. I had un burrito,
de weenie.
Sí, güey, a huevo. I had Comida de los Arcos, which is this amazing, amazing seafood restaurant.
Yes.
And bitch, it's fancy, but it's not fancy, right? Like it's not expensive, but it is fancy. They fly their seafood every day from Los Mochis, Sinaloa. So that shit is fresh. And so we had that. We had barbacoa de Juarez. I didn't know, but barbacoa is basically cachete. So you just like cook cachete for hours and hours, and that's what it is. It was amazing. Barbacoa estilo Juarez. I had un burrito de weenie. Ay, ya ni me acuerdo, güey. Se me hace agua la boca. But it was so good. It was so good to cross the border. It was the first time my husband crossed the border in 20 years. You know, so that was like a real treat. It was a beautiful moment.
Oh
it was
God. Also. ¿Ya tienes sus papeles?
Yeah, like we had our interview on October. We prepare, we rehearse, we had folders of pictures and documents, and we got the best agent, and he just put everything aside, made us 2 questions, and we passed. And it was great, but again, nobody's traveling, so we kept waiting and waiting and waiting. And
they asked you only 2 questions?
Only 2 questions. It was like the smoothest. Like we
white
were.
Looks like.
¿Qué?
I said that's what white privilege looks like. It's a bad joke.
Right. That's what a PhD will give you. I remember when we went to the lawyer. They're like, "You have a PhD. Don't fucking worry. Like you're the excellent
Doctor
candidate."
Doctor Candido Perez, right this way.
Pásale. Aquí está la carpeta roja. Oh yeah, yeah. But yeah, like it was a smooth process, but we finally did it, and It felt good. It felt good to be able to use my privilege, you know, like to help somebody. And it was amazing. And he met my family. I took him where I grew up, el parque donde jugaba, la casa donde crecí, you know, all of that stuff. But I said, you're going to eat everything that I eat, just like I did with you. Remember, like, I'm like, you have to eat this, you have to eat that. And that's what we did, and it was so good. Pero la primera mordida que le di a ese burrito de Winnie, güey, mira, caí en un abismo de pasión. I missed those so much. So, so good. For those of you who don't know what a burrito de Winnie is, it's exactly that. It's una tortilla de harina with un guisado de hot dogs and whole beans and chorizo. That's it. It sounds gross because it is, but it's so good. It's so, so good. I still remember when we bought some and then we crossed the border back to US and we were on our way to Tucson and we ate it on the way to Tucson. And you're like, okay, I get it. I get it. I get it. I get it. So, so good.
Oh my gosh. Wow, your body's so full of nitrates. Make sure you drink water.
Amen.
Flush it out, honey. Flush it out.
Oh, I did.
Anyway, oh, yeah. The whole time.
Pendejo.
Okay, well, I think we've caught up. Anything else? Anything fun, interesting? I should write things down because I had so many things I wanted to talk to you about and I forgot already, but they'll come to us.
I feel the same, but I think I wanted to talk about that burrito de Winnie more than anything else. More than my husband crossing the border for the first time in 20 years.
Like, so you know, that was a really special moment and something we've been building up to for years now, but can we talk about this hot dog and tortillas? Okay, great.
Yeah. That's it.
All right, well, let's take a little break. And we'll be right back with more listener letters. That's right. We're going to get through the inbox this month. I cannot wait.
Oh, my God.
OMG, Babs. You know what I'm going to talk about, right?
I creo que tengo una idea, pero no sé. A ver, recuérdame.
I'm talking about the ABCs of Latinidad. Coloring book. You can get yours today at latinoswholunch.com/coloring book. It's based on an episode, I think episode 99 and 100 of Latinos Who Lunch, where Babelito and I went through the alphabet and talked about the essence of Latinidad. Of course, it's a joke, but I think we captured it pretty well.
Yeah, I think we go from everything from anti-blackness, barroquismo, el WhatsApp, todo lo que se lo imaginan, it's right there, and it's beautifully, beautifully, beautifully illustrated.
And we're back! Okay, Babelito, let's dive into these listener letters. Thank you, everybody, for emailing Latinos Who Lunch over the years. It's been such a pleasure. And just know that if you send a letter that doesn't have a question in it, we read them all. So thank you. Gratitude. You've all sent really kind words, and we love you all. But we're going to get to the letters with people that have questions and need some advice. So we're going to read Jessica's first. Do you want to take this one or do you want me to, Babs?
I'll do it. Let's start. And the name of the email is A Final Farewell Question. Hi, Fabi Fav and Babelito. It seems that all of your careers have taken off and that you have gone on to pursue other projects across different areas. Could you talk a little bit about how your career aspirations, your passion projects, and your personal definitions of success have changed over time? I'm so happy to know that your careers are going well, and I wish you both all the best in the future. Sending you both so much love, Jessica. So one of the things about this podcast is kind of like rearticulating my aspirations, but at the end of the day, they have been the same. I've looking to get a tenure track job at a place where I can teach, you know, like my peoples, a place where I can teach BIPOC kids to raise awareness of some of the things that are happening right now, but in a historical context. I truly believe that that's, for me, my definition of success, meaning having a space where I can continue to to talk about these things. And I've said this before. If life gives me the opportunity and continues to give me the opportunity to have a radical classroom, I me doy por bien servido. And in the process of the podcast, I have a lot of doors have been opening, and I never thought that that will happen. And I feel like, and I said, and something that I said before is that I came to terms with the fact that I am not going to be rich, which I don't want to be rich. And I'm very happy with the knowledge that I am not going to be rich. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to be successful, you know? It doesn't mean that I don't get to accomplish my goals in life. I feel like I can do that, and I feel like I'm doing it. And it's slow, you know, and you know, just between us and all the listeners, I've had some setbacks even in the past couple of weeks, but I still have the opportunity to create a radical space, and hopefully that radical space creates voices that are going to create a change out there in the world. That's it. So the success, my definitions of success have shifted a little bit, but at the end of the day, the tenure track position, writing that book in a radical classroom was something that I've always wanted, was something that I'm getting there, and that's something that it's still in the future for me. So that's how I will define success and how it has changed over time.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think that's kind of my mindset as well. The one thing I will disagree is on is that I am very rich, and I'm going to be even richer.
Okay.
But my definition of being rich is I think what you're talking about. It's not like having a giant mansion or whatever, but like just being able to live your life and not have to worry about money. You know, that would be wonderful. For me, that's my goal, and I'm getting there, and I know that I'll get there.
What a concept, ¿verdad, híjole?
I don't have it figured out. I don't know what my idea of success is, and I think that's why kind of putting an end to some of the projects that I've been working on over the years right now is a way for me to kind of restabilize my life and figure out what I actually want. I need to really kind of restructure everything that I value, and like I've said several times, like, I really just want to make art. I don't want to be in front of the computer all the time anymore. And this past year and a half, that's what I've realized, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm making the moves now for me to be a practicing independent artist that can live without worrying too much for the rest of my life. And so I'm trying to set that up right now. And that's, I think that's the definition of success for me. I would love to, in the process, you know, bring other people up with me and help the community as well. That's obviously what this show is about and what a lot of my art is about. But I've really been thinking about how I can be a little bit more selfish these next couple of years to like really figure out like what I truly want to be doing instead of just doing things for other people,
right?
Or doing the things that I think people want me to do, because I have been such a people pleaser my whole life. I like tend to put myself last, you know, and now I feel like right now I'm like putting myself like second or third, so like I'm finally gonna get there, you know.
So. Yeah.
So it's getting there. And so, Jessica, you know, I think I don't want to speak for you, Baz, but I think we've both just learned so much over the last 5 years and are finally figuring out like what our definition of success is.
Yeah. And I think for me, I think part of the difficult part about ending the podcast in relationship to my career goals is that I never knew how much I needed this space and I needed this form of expression. And when we had this conversation about ending it, and this was like several months ago, I remember I told you, I said, I still have a lot to say. And for that reason, you know, like we're trying with the YouTube channel, like this last month with all the art historians just was also an eye-opening. I'm like, I need to keep doing this. Like, I don't know in what form, if they're just going to continue being interviews for the YouTube channel, but I have found so much value in an academic space that is not academic, that is for everybody. And that is now part of the equation of what I'm going to do for the rest of my life, hopefully, you know? So, again, at the core, there's still the same goals and same ideas about success. But now there's all of these different possibilities. Like today, I defended one of my dear students, Marina. She did an incredible, incredible project. She's working on an incredible project about feminist graffiti around the Americas. And thinking about graffiti as a form of performance. And it's just this beautiful, beautiful, eloquent, project. And I told her, I said, even though you may be burned out, even though it may be a little bit difficult right now or go into a PhD program and expand on it, it doesn't have to be academic. Like, start a podcast or, like, add interviews to the website. Like, now I have those perspective when I started. And given my training, it's like you give das clases, escribes tu libro y se chingó. But this podcast has allowed me to see that. So, again, at the core of everything, everything is still the same. But now, as part of the equation, is just like a world of possibilities. And with the idea that these are dialogues that we all need to be having nonstop, not just because somebody was murdered or not just for one reason. Like, we need to keep going and fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. You know, it's an uphill battle. And realizing that, too, realizing that this is an uphill battle in the podcast and outside of the podcast has been very difficult, but it's also part of that equation. That's a great question. I'm so glad we talked about this.
Great question, Jessica. Okay, next one. All right, from Susan. Here we go. Mother-in-law help. This one's for you, Babs. All right. Okay. I've been with my partner for 5 years, and the only issue in our relationship has been his parents, especially the mother, who from the beginning has tried to undermine our relationship. I'm Mexican/Honduran/American. Or dash, I should say, though they only refer to me as Mexican, and they really want my partner to be with someone who is like them, white upper middle class Virginians, or that at least assimilates so that they feel comfortable. After years, I am done with making them feel comfortable, and the last time I spoke with them, we got into a huge fight with white tears and everything over a year ago. I haven't spoke with them much since my partner and I moved away to Los Angeles. Since the pandemic, they have been Zooming with my partner, and they want me to join in on regular conversations again. And eventually, we will be visiting them again in Virginia. But I refuse because every time I talk to them, it becomes an argument since they can't go 30 minutes without saying something offensive. What do I do? I love my partner so much, but it's scary to think about the future and mixed babies. And with these in-laws in my family, as family matters so much to me. I'd love any advice. Appreciate you both and your words always. Take care, Susan.
Hijo de su madre. That's a tough one. That's a tough one because this goes in line with a lot of other questions that we get about how do we bring certain conversations to the table, especially not only in the wake of everything that is happening, but when you see yourself understanding and waking up and opening your eyes and you see all of those people that have been in your life all your life, not following, you know, it becomes very complicated. It's hard for me to talk about that because I am so fucking privileged when it comes to my in-laws. So privileged that they are so open to these conversations, even though when they're not ready. Una vez mi suegro, he's like, Babelito, tú sabes que me encanta hablar de estas cosas, del nacionalismo, de la Virgen de Guadalupe, pero cada vez que me voy a dormir, le pido perdón a Jesucristo. For the conversations. But it's just like, it's getting there, no? Like, arriving to a point that you may think away, I may think away, you know? And at the end of the day, at least you respect that, you know? So the conversations continue, the dialogue continues, and maybe we will get to a point where we make always disagree, which that and I'm talking about other family members that I have that's the case. And coming to terms with that, it becomes almost like a personal battle, you know, because sometimes I disagree with you, but you may think that I just have a different opinion, but I may think that your opinion is so violent that I cannot deal with that. I cannot compensate for the fact that you think that way, because I think that contributes to bigger violences. And maybe you may think that it's just cute that we have a different opinion. Getting to that point and understanding and comprehending and learning from differences is the hardest part. So it seems that you have both established ideas of differences. It's just a matter of to what degree are you going to respect each other's differences, you know? And that's the definition of, you know, like of learning from each other. That's the definition of, like, for example, in the class that I'm teaching right now, that's how we're defining the encounter. It's not about, oh, you and I have the same shoes, so we're the same. You and I are women, or you and I are gay, so we're the same. No, it's like learning the integrity of our differences and moving forward from them. So I use that as a philosophy, and I try to use that as a philosophy in everything that I do. But when it comes to family, it becomes very, very difficult. So maybe if they can learn that about you, that you will respect their differences for the sake of your partner, and they should do the same thing. And hopefully with the knowledge that when you open dialogue, it's with, again, with the knowledge that you may not come to an agreement. But I don't think the conversation should stop. I don't think that you should completely cut them off of your life just for the sake of your partner, because at the end of the day, you know, they're also your family. And again, as I said it before, it's an uphill battle. So it's something that is going to continue to be, you know, part of the table. And hopefully, you know, hopefully, because what's worse, having those conversations and coming to disagreements, or just ignoring those conversations, you know? That's a decision that you need to take.
I say cut them out. Throw them away.
A la chingada. Lock,
lock it up. Throw away the key. Throw it in the ocean. Whatever. Who cares? Next. Okay. Next. Carla. No, I'm just kidding. Well, something that I would like to know that you didn't mention is, does your partner, you never mentioned that your partner, and if they want you to make amends, because, you know, I have a lot of white friends, not to brag, and they,
mind
a lot
you.
Of them, a lot of them aren't as close to family like I'm close to family, you know, like they, like, you know, like me and my first cousins, we're like brothers and sisters, and they don't even know who their cousins are, kind of situation, you know?
Right.
And like, I have some friends that visit their relatives on like Christmas, and that's it, you know? And so, how is your partner's relationship with their parents? Do they care that do they care that much that you don't want to talk to them? Is this like pressure that you're putting on yourself? Like, have a conversation with your partner. Like, yo, I can't stand your parents, and if you don't stand up for me when they say that racist shit, like, you know, what does that say about your partner, right?
So yeah, that's a really good point.
Does your partner really care? If not, then do what I said. Forget about them. You know, put on a nice beat for Christmas and a nice sweater and show up and hang out for 2 hours and leave. If that's the kind of relationship he has with his parents,
right?
Or yeah. So it's case by case, but I will say, having a little bit of personal experience with having friends with problematic ass parents that I've kind of been around, it's so violent the way that they talk to us sometimes, because they don't realize how ignorant or like how privileged they are. And you can't really teach somebody that overnight. It takes years and years and years of having these awful, uncomfortable situations. And I totally understand you if you don't want to be teaching these devils, you know, like it's not your right. job. And if they come back at you with some really offensive shit every time, I don't know if you want to be fighting that uphill battle. And honestly, your partner should be fighting that battle, not you. So that is my advice. Talk to your partner about this and tell him to figure it out.
That's a really good point. Mm-mm. Susan, good luck. That's, yep.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm so excited for the next question. I'm
going to
read it.
Your turn.
Carla, Juan Gabriel, and Gorditas. Okay, let's do this. Here we go. Hola, Fabi, Fabi, Mabelito. My name is Carla. She, her pronouns. I'm born in Durango, Mexican, and raised in North Carolina. I have two questions. Uh-huh.
Sorry. Shout out to my canal. No, sorry. Go ahead. Sorry. I'm going to cut that out. I was going to do a whole Durango accent, but the moment's gone.
Okay. I have two questions for you all. What are your favorite underrated or not super famous songs by Juan Gabriel? I grew up knowing Amor Eterno, Abrázame Muy Fuerte, Querida, etc. But it's been a real treat coming across songs like Queriendo y No and Es Mejor. He was truly an icon. Heart emoji. And number two, oh my God, I have so much to say. Number two, have you ever eaten like a gordita de maíz? I don't remember if you ever mentioned it on the podcast. I thought they were a northern Mexico thing, but I find out from a friend from Monterrey that they don't eat them there. To me, they are corn flour pocket thingies filled with varios guisados, como chile rojo con queso, refried beans, papas with cheese y orégano, rajas o chicharrón. Ay, cabrón, tengo mucha hambre. Lechuga, tomate y crema on the side. My favorite son las de rajas. Thank you for being a bright spot on my Thursdays for the past 5 years. Se les va a extrañar. Un abrazo, Carla. Híjole, Carla, cuando somehow you said orégano and I went on, you know, caí en un abismo de pasión. Okay, Juan Gabriel, there are two albums. Now, I'm not going to talk about songs. I'm going to talk about albums because when we have such an incredible icon that has hundreds of so well-crafted pop songs, because to me, there's nothing more difficult than to create a good, simple pop song that speaks to millions, right? That's a challenge, you know? No una sinfónica, una ópera, esas mamadas that it's only for the 1%. Uh-uh. I guess it's more than for the 1%, but I just don't care about classical music. There's two albums. One is from, I think it's 1986. It's called Pensamientos. And the other one is from 1982. It's Cosa de Enamorados. Fabi, these albums are so good that the more I listen to them, I realize that it's one long song. It just goes a little bit faster and then a little bit slower, a little bit faster. But it's one 45-minute song cut in 10 different pieces. And it's an entire complete journey. It goes from like the cheesiest romantic ideas to some of the most complicated relationship thoughts. And it was literally with the album Pensamientos when I heard it from beginning to end, when I realized his genius, that he can craft a well put together conceptual album that talks about one thing that is just one rhythm and a couple of instruments, and you can extract whatever from that album and make it a hit. That's the definition of a fucking musician, like genius musician, you know, because he can do both. He can put together a whole entire product, or como decimos, you know, like un par de cachitos. I highly recommend for you all to sit down, you know, and listen to the album Pensamientos, plus, you know, those covers. My God, they're so good. Pensamientos from 1986 y Cosas de Enamorados from 1982, from beginning to end, and you'll realize what an amazing and incredible talent. If you didn't know that already, what an incredible and amazing talent Juan Gabriel was.
Wow. Yeah, I second that.
I was just there in his house. They, on the side of his house, they covered the street, pusieron una estatua, re fea la pinche estatua, but you know, God bless. And there's a kiosco, and it's like a whole entire monument to Juan Gabriel in Juárez. It's pretty fucking cool.
Awesome. Yeah, I saw pictures. You should post them on the Patreon.
Oh, nice. Yes, I'm definitely going to do that.
Okay, have you ever had a gordita de maíz?
Yeah, and I thought that gorditas were the maíz. I mean, I thought that the thing that from the north was gorditas de harina, which they taste completely different. So I think I like gorditas de harina better, but there's nothing like a good fluffy and inflada, freída gordita de maíz, exactly how Carla, how she defined them, you know? So, yeah. I've had them. In fact, I think we've had a conversation probably in the beginning of the podcast between do we like gorditas or do we like pupusas, you know? So yes, I have.
The only time I've had a gordita is on a bus on the way to Mexico, every time. That's like the food of choice. Shout out to the stop between El Paso y Tepehuanes, Durango. We stop in Parral, Chihuahua.
Oof.
And we hit up the gordita lady. She has a huge basket of them out there in the plaza, and we fucking grub. It's so good.
That sounds so good.
But not too much, because, you know, we got a long trip. Oh, my goodness. Well, great questions, Carla. Un abrazote. Thank you for your letter.
Muchas gracias.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what? We're out of time. That's all we were able to do today. We're going to get to the rest of them next time. Babs, why don't you take us out? Oh, my gosh. I just want to take this time to really thank our Patreon patrons, matrons. You are the best. Madrinas, amigas, comadres. We're going to give you big shout-outs the rest of this month on the episodes, but I just wanted to take the time to tell you today that we really appreciate y'all. And if you're not on there, you can sign up and get bonus episodes, sometimes early releases of episodes, pictures of Babelito in front of Juanga's house. I mentioned it a little bit before, but it's like confirmed now. I'm going to do a special edition art print for all the madrinas made by my friend who's an artist in Portland, Maine. Her name's Pilar Nadal, and she is designing a Latinos Who Lunch poster that all the madrinas will get. So last year we gave away the coloring book, and this year we're giving away the poster. So the Patreon will remain active through May for anybody that signs up and wants to get that perk. And then we will close the Patreon. We'll close it from charging you. You can still access. If you guys are on Patreon, you guys can still access all the stuff on there. You know what I mean?
Yes, and thank you again. Thank you to everybody. We were hesitant to open a Patreon in the beginning, and when we did, and just like all of a sudden everybody was signing up, and it really showed the love, and we felt it. And it has made this past year a lot easier, thanks to your help. And we live, you know, for our madrinas, comadres, amigas, vecinas, todo. And and we felt the love. And I think that at least for me, seeing how fast and quickly people were signing up really showed me what a strong community we were able to build with the podcast. And that's invaluable. And for that, we thank you so much.
Yeah, so latinoswholunch.com/donate. You can donate there, or you could go to patreon.com/latinoswholunch. All right, let's do recommendations, Babs. What you got?
Okay, so esta se la debo a una de mis estudiantes. She's been talking about her dude and how he is working on an album, and he's like, please mention it. And I have to mention it. This is an album by Sean Cool, S-H-A-N-K-U-O-O-L, Sean Cool. And he just came out with an LP, and it's so, so, so good. The name of the LP is Come Home. And in fact, this is the first time that I recommend an Arab American musician. This is a kid, and he has, his influences range from everything, from disco to funk to indie to punk. And what is fascinating is that I was thinking about this, Fabi, when I was listening to it, because I can, every time I think about my best music year, I always think of 2016. From everything we listened to, from like Arco Santi to going to see Beyonce, listening to Solange, and like there's just so much. We were like, so like our conversations about music were so vibrant. And then now I'm starting to see the influences, because I truly believe that like 1992, right? Like the 2016 is going to be one of those years that people are going to remember for a long, long time. So I listened to this album by Sean Cool, and it reminds me of that. It reminds me of like Como Pedacitos de Ese Año. Again, the album is available on Spotify. It's Come Home, and it just came out like a couple of days ago. And this is this is one of those artists that I truly believe that is on the rise, and you're going to hear more and more and more and more about them. Again, Come Home. It just came out. No se lo pierdan. Wonderful, wonderful music.
Sweet. I'm going to recommend a couple of TV shows. I have been watching like an hour or two of TV every night. It's my new wind down ritual. It's been nice. Back to my roots when I was little and would watch 16 hours of television a day. It's reminding me of that. But I've been catching up on a lot of shows. Shout out, speaking of a diverse show, shout out to The Good Place. Have you ever seen The Good Place?
I've heard of it.
I think I love that show. It's good. I don't know. Like, it's I don't know. It's really, it's kind of diverse, and I mean, it is diverse. And I don't know. It's really smart and weird and goofy in a cool way. But anyway, that's an old show. I've been watching. Somehow I got the HBO password, you know, so I have it on my TV now. And I've been catching up on some HBO stuff. And I've been watching Generation. Have you heard of the show, Babs?
Uh-uh.
It's this show on HBO, and I think this is the only... I'm going to start with the negative, okay? And we're going to work our way up, okay?
Okay.
I think Lena Dunham is the executive one of the producers of the show.
Uy, valiendo vergas.
But she doesn't write all the episodes. She only helps... She only writes... She's only written one or two of them, or, like, help write it. And you know what? Like, you know, doing this podcast and just being a little bit more critical over the years of TV shows, I can actually tell when she writes it. Like, when she writes certain lines, I was like, that was Lena Dunham's line. God damn, they should have took that shit out of the show.
But like, in her defense, like thinking about Girls, like, yes.
You don't need to defend her.
Like, trash of everything, but like... Like, we loved it. Like, you and I talked about this a long time ago. Like, that was a good show. Like, as a study on white privilege,
yeah.
It's super interesting, you know? But of course, it's, like, so flawed in so many ways.
I think I made it to, like, the 1.5 seasons. I didn't even finish the second one. But, yes. Anyway, this show is cute. It's, like, it's one of these shows where it's queer high schoolers. It's kind of like Euphoria Light, like Euphoria, if it was, I feel like it's a little bit more realistic. It really, the characters in the show really remind me of kids from my high school, and like I relate to them a lot more.
That's cool.
Like they're doing drugs, they're having sex, but it's not like to the degree that Euphoria was at, you know? There is one of the main characters. There's like five main characters, which is really cool. But one of them is this like biracial black kid, who is like in love with his guidance counselor, who's a queer black man, which is a weird relationship. I know. And then there's a brother and sister who I think are twins, and one of them is bi, and it's messy, girl. It's messy. But my favorite character is this girl, Greta, who is Chicana, and her mom was deported and is like trying to get back into the States. So you only see her on Zoom. And she's a lesbian, and her tia, who's taking care of her while her mom is gone, is really cool. She's probably one of my favorite characters in the show, and she's cool with it, you know. And she is just starting to have feelings for this girl at school. And it's so innocent and cute. And I was just like overwhelmed with like just memories of high school and, you know, like your first loves and all that stuff. It's so cute. And then I also think I'm watching teenagers hook up on TV. Is this is this okay? But keep in mind, they're all over 18 in real life. I don't know. It's art. Okay. But I really love the diversity in the show. So, you know, Lena Dunham learned a lot from Girls, I can see now. And it's not it's not solely her project, so I don't want to give her the credit. There's a lot of people that work on the show. And it's cool. The only thing I will warn you, I think on like episode 7, they cast this guy, and I'm going to say this, and if there's any people in Hollywood listening, because I know there is, or if you are Hollywood adjacent and you know a writer or a TV showrunner or a producer, if you're going to cast somebody that's Mexican, make sure they speak Spanish with a Mexican accent.
Me cae tan.
Oh my God. Oh my God. This guy. And no shade. I don't speak Spanish like a Mexican or a Guatemalan. My pocho accent is so fucked. And that's the accent that I would use to play a pocho Mexican Guatemalan American. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a scene where they're on a field trip or something, and the bus breaks down. And Greta has a moment with the farm worker because they stopped in some valley somewhere, and she has pan dulce that her tia gave her, and she like shares it with the farm worker, and he like thanks her and like whatever, and they have a moment. And this motherfucker, I'm pretty sure he's like New Yorican, never spoke Spanish in his life until he got this role, and I'm like, bitch, I know that you are in the Inland Empire right now filming this. You couldn't find a Mexican actor in all of California to come down for this 5-line role. Who is casting? What is going on? Oh my God.
The same people as always, okay. Boo. The same people as always.
I let that off my chest. It's a great show. Check it out. The next show.
Gracias. Gracias por el burrito.
Okay. Speaking of, did you ever see the second season of Casa de las Flores?
I started, but I never finished it.
Oh, yeah, my God. You should watch it. You should watch it just for the bit of this. You know, Paulina's son went to go live in Spain.
Uh-huh.
And then he comes back, and he comes back with a full Spanish accent. And the whole joke, through the whole second season is like, why are you talking like that?
Como Paulina Rubio.
Yeah. And you know, like the little girl, Michaela, she's like, why are you calling me tío? I'm your tía. It's so good.
That's so funny.
Anyway, speaking of Spanish people, I started watching Veneno. Have you heard of Veneno?
Yes, and it's on my list. I've heard so much about it.
Girl, it took me through it. I could not watch more than one episode at a time. So I'm only 2 episodes in. The whole series is out. I think it's like 8 episodes. But every episode so far has been like its own movie. It's so well done. And it takes you through the life of Cristina La Veneno, who was a sex worker in the 90s in Spain. So the first episode is in the 90s and in like 2006. So there's parallel stories happening. So it kind of takes you to when Veneno was discovered by like a late night show I don't know if it was Madrid. I think it was in Madrid. Anyway, I don't know geography. I don't know Spain. I'm so sorry.
I don't know biology.
I don't know much, but I do know that I like Veneno. And it's such a beautiful show. But the actors in this show, Pablito, when I tell you, and it's definitely referencing Almodovar and all that shit, dude.
Oh,
it's
I
like
love it.
So down to like the racist black statue in the background of every movie. They got it all. They got it all, okay? So, I really recommend it. I know a lot of people say that it's really heavy and it's hard to watch. So if you grew up as a queer kid, girl, the second episode with the mom, with Veneno's mom, trigger city for me, honey. Oof. It was a lot, but I'm glad I watched it. So, this is what I was going to say. So in the first episode, the story is about you following kind of this journalist in her 40s who just had a baby, and she's going back into this guy, like, gotcha shock journalism, you know? And so she's the one that goes and starts to interview the sex workers, and that's where she finds Cristina La Veneno. And the other story that's happening takes place in 2006 with this young student who's going to school for journalism, and they are also figuring out their gender identity, and they grew up kind of watching Veneno, or remember watching Veneno on TV, like late night when his parents were watching TV, you know? And so that's also a very beautiful story at the same time. So please check it out. When you have a moment, it's really great and really funny. And all the trans actors are played by trans actors. And it's
what
just
a
such
concept.
It's such a joy. And I could tell that they just let them talk. Like, they just let them be themselves. So the shit they say, oh, girl.
Oof.
It is so funny. And I'm watching it with I'm watching it with subtitles sometimes because I have roommates that don't speak Spanish. And it's such a shame. I would urge everybody to learn Spanish before they watch this, because the translations are never as good. Like, you miss
never,
so
yeah.
much. You miss so much. But anyway, yes, Generation and Veneno on HBO. I approve. I think they're great shows.
Mi nombre es Justin Favela. Y yo apruebo este mensaje.
Down, down, down. Okay. Anything else, Babs?
That's it. I just want to give a big shout out to Marta and Yaremi. I got to see them in Juarez.
Oh, my
gosh. And I love them.
They're so cool.
Yaremi with her Sotol del Desierto. I was just reminded. I mean, of course, my family. But seeing Yaremi again just reminds me how much I love her. Girl, if you're listening, te quiero, te amo. Te amo, pendeja. That's it.
Yaremi's one of those people that has that twinkle in their eye, you know?
Oof, yeah. She's funny.
My mom would say, esa mujer tiene cara de pícara. Okay, so anyway. Yeah, I love her. She's so cool. Okay. As always, you can find us at latinoswholunch.com. You could also leave us a review wherever you listen to the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. I don't think Spotify lets you rate stuff, but you can listen to us on Spotify as well. Anyway, 5 stars.
5 estrellas solamente.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And
visibility leads to representation, and representation matters.
Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega, with production assistance from Maite Sosa. The music you're listening to now is by the band Balloon. Oh my God, every time I'm going to do this, I'm going to stop and talk about Angelica, because guess what?
What's up?
her the piece that she did with Sacha, mm-hmm. Sacha Valor. It's on the New York Times.
Hijo su madre, se lo merece por chingona.
Okay, I'm Fabi Fab.
And this is Babelito.
Goodbye.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.